This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.
Welcome to Specsaver, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to me. Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. Heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning. Welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. I'm thrilled to welcome to the show this morning the ultimate Leafs fan, Mike Wilson. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing well. How can that be good? Notre Dame, the Jays won yesterday. Life is good.
Also joining us is our good friend, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. How are you today, Lou?
I'm just great, Wally. It's been a beautiful Sunday morning after a beautiful Sunday or Saturday afternoon yesterday.
Anyways, I just want to let our listeners know Naz is off today. Naz, we hope you're feeling better soon. Okay, guys, let's get into it. Toronto Blue Jays, New York Yankees. 10-1 Jays victory. Although there were some nerve-wracking moments at various parts of that game. So why don't we break it out? I just hope when the score got up there, I said to myself, I hope they save a few runs for tomorrow or the day after. But we'll take a victory in whatever form it comes. Lou, I'll turn it over to you as a diehard Yankees fan. I presume this is not the result you were looking for.
You know what? Well, the game was a lot closer than 10-1. It was 3-1 going into the bottom of the seventh inning where the Yankees had a great chance to more or less put some runs up in the top of the seventh. And then they gave it to Mr. Weaver, and Mr. Weaver blew the game again yesterday like he did against Boston. So I've got nothing to say. It's a five-game series, or it's the best of five. Come and talk to me after it's over.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that, Mike. You got to win. You got to win the last. You got to get the last out. So it's nice to win the first one, but there's a lot of work that still has to be done. But going over, I think Lou's kind of right in this sense, is that there were some key moments in the game yesterday, and one of those moments was, Kevin Gausman pitched extremely well over the first five innings. I think he only threw 50 pitches in the first five, and then he got himself into a jam in the sixth, bases loaded, no outs, and got to give Schneider a lot, the manager, a lot of credit for how he managed his pitching staff in that inning. He kept Gausman in, who struck out Aaron Judge, and then I can't remember who got the pop up. It was Bellinger, I can't remember. And then he switched pitchers. A lot of credit to how Schneider managed the game yesterday, because this 10-1 game, but it really wasn't at certain points in time in the middle innings.
No, not at all. I mean, listen, this is what you play for. This is where your big guys and your star players have to come through. It's expected. And, Gausman is the ace of the staff at this point. You got to leave the ball in his hands in that situation, and he made the right moves, and they worked. They've done this all year where he's put the ball or the bat in the players' hands and let the players dictate how the game goes. And he's made the players accountable in their own right, and they've come through. But I think the key to yesterday's victory is, in any sport, if you're going to win a championship, your best players have to outplay the other team's best player. So that's a given. If you don't have that, you're not even going to be in it. But where the key is, and I think what everybody's been missing in the media and that is yesterday, is it's the lesser lights. It's the guy who has that Pat Borders moment, that steps up. Nathan Lukes, should I say, that catch, diving catch, he made the save. When it was just outside the foul line, the two doubles, the double with the bases loaded to drive in two runs to make the score 5-1 at a critical moment when the Yanks had threatened in the top of the inning. Those are the type of plays that matter. Now, all of a sudden, Kirk has become a threat. Five home runs in his last four games. Well, no, but listen, five home runs in his last four games. They were throwing the ball. They were going right after him up until that point about a week ago. Now he's all of a sudden hot. They got to pay attention to him a lot closer and pitch a little tighter to him. So that opens everything up for everybody else. So to me, those were the key things that came out of yesterday. And Verlander obviously coming in that big strikeout. That, you know, those are the things, and those are the moments. But as Lou said, it's one game. There's still a few more to go. But, I mean, I like the way the energy from the team and the way they responded under those situations yesterday.
Yeah, it was kind of key, you know. I mean, Guerrero sort of set the tone right at the beginning because it was big. You know, everybody's wondering, is Vladdy the $500 million man? Is he going to be able to bring it at playoff time? And he sort of settled that debate pretty quick, knocked one out of the park.
One hit, Wally. It's
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I know. But it sort of, I sort of think it emotionally lifted the team to a certain extent. You know, and that's the one thing I love about this Jays team. They are a team. They really look like they enjoy playing with each other, and they revel in each other's success. So I thought Vladdy hitting that home run right off the top sort of set a tone for the rest of the team. And you're right, you know, one hit doesn't make a series or a season, no question about that. And then Alejandro Kirk, we were joking about it on the show last week, where he's not the most speedy guy on the base paths. And, you know, in one of the last games against the Red Sox, he got thrown out at first base after he hit a single to right field. But I think he sort of solved that problem because you don't need to have speed when you're hitting home runs, Lou.
Why do you have to bring it up always? Like, literally, why do you have to bring it up, Alejandro Kirk hitting a home run and then getting thrown out at first base? The kid's a good ball player, okay? He's got a weight problem.
I'm not so sure about that, but go ahead.
Before.
What? Sorry?
He had a line drive to right field. You know what? For me, it's okay, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I know there's a lot of Blue Jay fans. It's just irritating because right now, these guys are seeming like it's, they've won the World Series, okay? Come and talk to me after five games, after the next series, and let's see if they get to the World Series. Okay? It's plain and simple. It's black and white there.
Come on, Lou. Let us Blue Jays fans have a little bit of fun.
I'm just sick and tired of watching this crap on TV. Okay? I'm a diehard sports fan. I don't like people that I know they've never done it. That's their first win in 15 years or 10 years in the playoffs. That's great. Enjoy the moment. Nobody has ever said, okay, we've taken care of game one. There's four. We got to win two more games. Nobody has ever said that.
Oh, I think that I can't agree with you there, Lou, because I think Mike and I have both said right off the hop on this show, one game doesn't win you a series.
You have said it. But not the people on the TV.
Oh, I'm sure that. But let's line up. Okay. You know, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think Mike agrees with you too. It's one game, and whether you win the game 10-1 or 3-2 in 14 innings, it's the same result.
Exactly.
You come back out the next day.
Yeah.
It's 24 hours later. You got to go at it again, and you got to win two more games. And in the Yankees' case, you got to win three games. So, you know, there's a lot of baseball that's got to be played here. There's no question about that. And, you know, at some point in this series, I'm pretty sure that Stanton and Judge are gonna give a message of some kind. So let's see how it plays out. But a good start for the Jays. Let's line up game two, guys. Mike, interesting choice of starting pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm still learning how to pronounce his name. Misavich, I believe.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
This kid is 22 years old. He was playing A-ball earlier this year. I think he came up on September 15th, if I'm not mistaken. Pitched pretty well in the last game against Tampa, I believe. Interesting choice, because I think the choice was between him and Shane Bieber. Bieber, of course, is the guy with all the experience. There's been they've looked at this managerial decision from various angles, and one of them being is Bieber's the guy with the experience, and he's the guy you want to send out at Yankee Stadium, where you know, the tables turn a little bit in terms of rockiness of fans. What do you think about throwing Yusevich out in game two? Obviously, they don't have Bassett, they don't have Scherzer, and they don't have Barrios, so, you know, they sort of got a little bit tight on the pitching staff. But that's who they're throwing out today. Your thoughts on that?
Well, listen, he came in key situations in September when they were still struggling to try and win a division and stay alive. So, and he delivered. He pitched in front of his biggest crowd ever at the Rogers Center. So this kid, and as he keeps saying, he's kind of built for this. This is his 15th this year. They're not stupid. They know how this kid has developed and whether he's got the arm to do what he has to do. And you got to remember two things. One, first time through the league, these players have not seen this kid. They haven't seen his stuff. He's an intimidated figure on the mound. So here we are going through the lineup for the first time. I love this call, him coming in today, because the Yankees are throwing their number one guy, Max Fried, today. They lose today. And you know what? The chances of them coming back off of that are still good, but they still weigh heavily in the Jays' favor if they can sneak one out today with the kid and can blow some by these guys today, which, you know, the way he's been going, I expect that he can eat a few innings for them. But the biggest thing is that the guy on the other side throwing the ball, that's the guy the Jays have to worry about. I think the kid is going to come through here today because he just seems to be thriving off this. He's really just taking all the moment in and enjoying every minute of it. You can see the expression on his face, and he's aged beyond his years. So, I mean, today he gets put to the test, and you know what? I expect he's going to come through.
Lou, your thoughts on the matchups today? Obviously, you know, the Jays are throwing a rookie into, you know, he's got to face a guy like Judge and Stanton. But, you know, the Yankees got Max Fried. So your assessment of what the Yankees have to do differently today?
Well, you know what? I think it's a good call on the Blue Jays' part. The kid is a rookie. They didn't want to throw him into a playoff game at Yankee Stadium. It could be a little bit too much, or the kid could be all fired up and really, you know, sometimes your emotions controls your pitches. So today will be a great position for him. And with Bieber going number into the third game, with him having the experience of pitching at Yankee Stadium, it's going to be a plus on their behalf. But listen, the kid has pitched well the last three, four times out in the last month of September. And he also, I think he pitched the clinching game against Tampa sometime last week. So I think it's a good call for the Jays, and we'll see what the kids have. And you look at the last two rookie pitchers with the in the Yankees series against Boston, they both pitched very well. So anything happens here, and the Yankees haven't seen this kid yet.
Mike, pretty good result. You know, Gausman handed the ball over to Varland, and then after that, the relief staff did a pretty good job. You know, I mean, Hoffman with a 10-1 lead, you know, he pitched fairly well too, but he's been subject to some criticism. But you got to give the Jays reliever, once Gausman put the ball in the hands of Varland, they did pretty well after that.
Well, that's why they brought these guys in, for a situation just like this, and they've been delivering so far. And don't forget, you got Lauer in there too, and that kid, you know, he gets, you know, deregulated, if you will, from almost as a starter to the bullpen, and he's delivered. So I like that setup that they have. A little nervous with Hoffman, you know, again.
Yeah, he makes everybody nervous.
He could have taken it the wrong way yesterday, coming into the 10-1 blowout, and he's supposed to be your closer, and they threw him in anyway. Now, they always make the excuse to want to give him some work, get him some used under the situation and all that stuff. But, you know, maybe they're trying to get a little confidence in him, but hopefully it doesn't come down to that in the real world, but you know it will. So I like the fact the way the bullpen is set up. And listen, if these guys can keep delivering like they are, it just feeds off itself. You know, like just like losing is contagious, so is winning. And the fact is, if one guy's going in doing his job, it just pumps the other guy up to come in and hit those corners and hit those spots themselves. And you can see the way they've been pitching. But again, it's one pitch away from losing a game. So never say never in anything.
Yeah, Lou, sort of look at yesterday's game, and the biggest difference between the Jays and the Yankees yesterday, correct me, I'd like to see your thoughts on it, was basically after the starting pitcher handed the ball over to the relief staff. That seemed to be the difference yesterday. Is that a concern for the Yankees at all?
Well, it really is, because Weaver's been the guy down the stretch last year that really carried the load. Him and I think it was King or I can't remember even the closer for last year's team. But this year, it seems like they give him the ball. He did it last week against Boston. Boston had a 2-1 lead going into the bottom of the seventh, and he faltered. It was plain and simple. So I don't know why Boone is giving him the ball again instead of going to either Fernandez or Cruz. So what happened was it was a 3-1 game going into the bottom of the seventh, and that's when everything blew up. So is there a concern? There definitely is a concern, but let's see what happens when the Yankees are playing ahead instead of trying to keep the game close. And what Mike said with Yosevich there, it's going to be a great situation for him. Because you know what, a kid's a kid, and with Hoffman going in, you got to give these pitchers a chance to pitch, even in a blowout game, just to get their arms loosened up. The only thing that I worry about when you do that is if they don't pitch well, their pitch count is going to get higher and higher, and then it's going to ruin you for game 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, it certainly will, and that's comes down to managers. You know, that's where. In more so than in any other sport, the manager makes a huge difference, or managers. You know, Schneider isn't doing it by himself, but he's the guy at the top of the, you know, making most of the decisions in concert with all the other assistants that are helping him. They got to make critical decisions, and yesterday the ones that Schneider made all worked out. And we'll see what happens today. Today should be fascinating. I wouldn't call yesterday a great game unless you're a Jays fan. But there's a lot of baseball to be played yet in this series. So it's nice to win the first one, but you got to win the last one, which is the most important one. Guys, a few minutes left before we go to break. There's one other series I'd like to chat about that is attracting my interest is the Phillies against the Dodgers. You know, when you get an opportunity to watch, I call him the unicorn, Shohei Ohtani. Didn't win the game with his bat last night. I think he went 0-for-4, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he won it with his arm. You know, he's a starting pitcher. What he does, I don't even know how to describe it. One of the best pitchers in 1-2 with Aaron Judge as a hitter, and then he gets in there and he wins the game with his arm. This guy's truly incredible. Mike?
Well, I mean, just look at the situation he came in. You're going into a place like LA, which is just, you know, that's the New York Yankees. It's the mecca of baseball. And you know, the spotlight you're under, this kid goes in there and, you know, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases, delivers in the playoffs. yeah, it's just incredible what he's done and how he delivers. And he goes 0-for-4 last night and steps up and hits the game winner. So, again, this is where I'm alluding to come. We want to make this all about the Blue Jays, obviously. We've got to make it all centric. Every time we make the Leafs the same way, we've got the Jays. This is why I say it was so important to see Kirk continue to have that hot bat, because if it's not Vladdy, which hopefully he can continue this, it's the same thing with the Dodgers. If it's not Ohtani, you got Hernandez to deal with, or Freddie Freeman, or whoever's coming up, you know, Mookie Betts, you know, whoever it is throughout that lineup. But they're so deep, and the Phillies are a good ball club too. So those two teams, it's just one of those things that he's just a marvel every time you watch him, because he can do anything. And that's just, he's the ultimate ball player.
Yeah, there's Lou, I'll turn you, there's a handful of players, a guy like Aaron Judge, a guy like Ohtani. There's a handful of players you go out of your way, say, I'm not watching baseball tonight. Oh, Ohtani's on. Okay, I'm watching baseball tonight. He's just, you know, there's a handful of those guys. And, you know, to see this guy, you know, he can beat you in every possible way. He can steal bases. He can hit. Neither one of which he did last night, but he wins the game with his arm. It's just phenomenal. He's a once in a lifetime. I can't remember. They talk about Babe Ruth, but I don't think there's ever been anybody in the history of baseball that can do what this guy can do.
No, there really isn't. And what stands out more than anything, he's a complete, if you want to call it, ball player or athlete. He hits for power. He steals bases. He can throw probably anywhere from 95 to 100 miles an hour. So there's not one way that he can't beat you. Even though he does go 0 for 4, he's got guys behind him yesterday, like Hernandez and Freeman and Betts. And when he doesn't pitch, obviously he's the DH. So it's just, you know what, we are seeing probably one in a million generational player type of thing. Like we always talk about the hockey players that we see that stand out, like Crosby or McDavid or players like that. We're definitely seeing him in baseball, and he is one of those players that you really don't want to miss when he's up or when he's pitching, because usually something special happens.
Anyways, guys, we've got to take it to break. We've got Michael Tracos from the Hockey News holding for us. We got to talk some hockey, guys. The NHL starts this week. Leafs and Canadiens, what a better way to start the season. I can't think of anybody else better than Michael Tracos, so we'll be right back with him.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville surprised the big pizza conglomerates by introducing Pizza Romana. It's a crispy Italian sourdough crust that's oval-shaped with gourmet pizza toppings. The big pizza conglomerates complained because they don't have the Pizza Romana sourdough crust. I guess that's just sour grapes. Order your Pizza Romana at pizzaville.ca or on our app.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Durham Region, the wait is almost over because Mint Inc. is coming to Ajax. Whether you're a collector, player, or just love the thrill of the chase, Mint Inc. has you covered with the hottest sports cards, Pokemon, and TCG releases. From live box breaks to tournaments and exclusive drops, there's something for everyone. Follow Mint Inc. on social media or visit mintinc.ca for updates on their opening and all the events planned. Mint Inc. Ajax, coming soon to Durham Region. Get ready to collect, trade, and play.
Passion. It drives entrepreneurs, small businesses, and fast-growing companies. And passion inspires KPMG Private Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Private Enterprise is the number one private company advisor in Canada, navigating complex challenges to help you stay one step ahead of the competition. Search KPMG Private Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one super fan to another.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village. We're here with Lou Leapin', Lou Franceschetti, the ultimate Leafs fan, Mike Wilson, and we're thrilled to welcome now to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour our good friend, the managing editor of digital media at the Hockey News, Michael Trakos. Michael, how are you this morning?
Doing great. Great to be on with you guys. You know, this tells me that we're getting closer to the start of the season when you guys make that call and say, come on the show. So
I trust you had a good summer, Michael, and we're thrilled to have you back. And you know what? It's that time of year. There's two things that the fall this time of year reminds me of. One of them was playing high school football. And there's the air just smells differently at this time of year in a good way. It's fresh, and the NHL is going to start, and it's the Leafs and the Canadiens. And it seems like the memory of how the Leafs ended their season last year has almost become like a distant memory. Leafs Nation is coming together. All those who threaten to get off the bandwagon seem to be jumping back on. Hope springs eternal. It's a fantastic time of year, and let's get to it. So we've got Leapin' Lou in today. We've got Mike Wilson and Michael. We've got a lot to talk about. The Toronto Maple Leafs is obviously where we always start. We lost Mitch Marner. We brought in some new guys. We don't yet know if Easton Cowan's going to be on the team to start the team, whether he's going to the Marlies. We've got Dakota Joshua, Michelli, Nicholas Waugh. We don't know if Nick Robertson's going to stay. There's so much going on between now and Wednesday. Let's start off. Easton Cowan. What do you think of his play so far?
I like him. And, you know, I was a little worried about, you know, A, his size, and B, just, you know, whether or not he was going to be able to make the jump. But, you know, Craig Berube seems to appreciate his game. You know, he does play with a little bit of an edge when he's being asked. But I think the real challenge for Easton Cowan is, can you trust him? Or not even trust him, but is it in his best interest to be in a bottom six role for the team? Or do you kind of wait until he can push his way up into the top six? Because, you know, I think this guy, if you look at his career, is, you know, what his future looks like, he's probably going to be a top six forward. You know, I don't want Easton Cowan playing on my fourth line, but, you know, can he handle that role while he gets that that spot?
Mike, I'm going to take it to you, and then Lou, I'm going to come back to you with sort of a different question. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, well, I'm having some technical problems, so you're breaking up a little bit. But as far as Easton Cowan goes, I'm kind of mixing that. Like, I'm with Mike. I think he's earned his spot, and I think there's a good opportunity for him here. But, you know, playing fourth-line minutes, he's going to play, what, 9-10 minutes a game? Or rather him go to the Marlies, light it up down there, playing all situations, get over-ready, like the term is used, and bring him up in that situation, and maybe give Robinson a shot there, who he's done more than his share to earn a spot. But again, it's one of those mixed situations where you do want him to become a better pro and learn how to be a better pro, but being around the team every day. And I'm referring to Easton Cowan, that is. But on the other hand, he's got to play to get better, and he's only going to get better. My thought would be either way, but I might like to see him play a little bit with the Marlies.
Lou, some of the other new talent that has come in. You know, Leafs had a horrendous performance against the Red Wings on Thursday night with all their supposed players that are going to start the season. I know that we're not supposed to put much stock into that because it's preseason, but that was pretty horrendous to watch. Last night, the Toronto Marlies were effectively playing the Detroit Red Wings and probably looked better than the first stringers did Thursday night. But like they say, it's preseason. Let's not put too much into it. But of the new players that you've seen that have come in, I'd like your thoughts. We've got Dakota Joshua, this Michelli kid, Nicholas Waugh, and your thoughts on Nick Robertson. He scored a pretty goal last night. Seemed to be a little bit, I wouldn't call him a force, but played a good game last night. I think he's either got to crack this lineup or they got to give him a shot somewhere else. So let's start off with Joshua, Michelli, Waugh, and then Robertson. Your thoughts on all of these guys. And Mike, I'd like your thoughts after Lou pipes in.
I think they made great acquisitions in the three guys that you mentioned, because You're getting guys with size, which they never had before. You're getting guys with that have played in key moments in the playoffs, with Joshua with Vancouver and Wah with Vegas. The unknown guy there is going to be Michelli. We don't know what he really is all about, and can he fit into a Craig Berube style of play? So those three are key acquisitions. The Easton Cowan and Robertson thing, and Mike couldn't have said it any better. There's no sense of putting those two guys in getting only 7 or 8 minutes a game when they can be playing 20 minutes a game down in the Marlies. Robertson, this is his fourth kick at the can. Have they seen enough, or are they more or less just going to put him aside and make him trade bait? And Cowan's going to be a kind of guy that's, you know, I'm not sure if he's going to be good as a fourth line energy guy, but he's definitely going to be a top six forward somewhere down the road. So it really all depends on where the organization is on developing these two guys with the Marlies, or are you going to put them on the fourth line here in place of guys that are used to playing fourth line minutes and just giving you that little bit of energy thing that you need somewhere down the game, like a Lorenz that they have.
Michael Tracos, like you to your sense of the Leafs and the changes, the new guys they've brought in. You've watched a lot of preseason games. Really didn't have the entire lineup, but from what you've seen from the new additions, obviously they were brought in not necessarily to increase their point total during the regular season, which everybody's saying the Leafs are going to regress somewhat, but we'll see what happens. But these are supposed to be playoff additions, and in your observations of some of these guys that they brought in, like Dakota, Joshua and Nicholas Waugh, who are supposed to bring some grit and some size and whatever, your sense of are they going to change the Leaf makeup on the third and fourth lines?
Well, I think you got guys that were brought in specifically with Craig Berube in mind. So both Waugh and I would argue Joshua are, you know, are players that, you know, if Berube was the manager, you know, he would be the one swinging those trades. So I think I think Brad Treliving listened to Craig Berube and asked them probably, you know, what are you looking for? And I bet you he said, yeah, get me guys who are, you know, closer to Matthew Knies's height and weight than Mitch Marner's. So, you know, I think this is more of the identity of the kind of game that Craig Berube wants to play. And I think that's why if you're a guy like Nick Robertson, you know, you might have a little trouble this year, you know, again, cracking that lineup or staying with the Leafs. And, you know, I think Berube wants to play big, heavy hockey in Waugh and Joshua. I think you got two guys that perfectly fit that mold. And Michelli, I still haven't seen enough of. I'm really curious to see, you know, him getting a longer look with Matthews in that line. But, you know, for me, the real key is, you know, having Joshua and Waugh and what can that do with your bottom six. Because I would argue that top six, the Leafs are fine with or without Marner. It's the bottom six that needed to be improved, and I think they did get improved this summer.
Any idea what's going on with Joseph Wall? Is there any announcement as to when he's coming back?
No, but, you know, whether it's an injury or something else, this is something that Leaf fans are sort of to be expected of now with Joseph Wall. Like, you're just not going to get a full season out of him, no matter how you want it. So it's great that they have Anthony Stolarz. I think they've got a guy that on any other team, he's your number one, just happens to be in a tandem situation in Toronto. And we'll see if that stays, because I think this year is going to be the Anthony Stolarz breakout year. I think last year we saw glimpses of it, but again, if Stolarz can stay healthy, you know, we're talking about a guy that, you know, don't be surprised if he inches his way into the Vezina conversation.
Mike Wilson, the Atlantic Division this year looks like it's a little bit upside down. Florida, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, but they've got a couple of critical pieces that are gone for the year. Well, not for the year. Barkov and Tkachuk's out till, I guess, after the Olympics. So you're taking two of their most important players out of the lineup. Tampa looks like they're going through some sort of rejuvenation. Where do you see the Leafs in this pecking order, and talking about Tampa and the Florida Panthers, we can go around on this one as well. They're beating the living crap out of each other during the preseason games. There's some hate relationship going on down there. The penalty minutes are out of the world. But where do you see the Leafs when the dust settles at the end of the season? Where are we here? And you got Montreal and Ottawa chomping up with some young talent coming up the other side. When the dust settles, where do you expect the Leafs to land? Mike, I guess Mike Wilson. We lost him, Owen. Michael Tracos, did you hear that?
Yeah. I heard it, and okay. You know, maybe Mike Wilson doesn't want to put his neck on the line.
We'll get him back.
This is going to be a difficult season, maybe.
Yeah, I just noticed we lost his connection. Go ahead, Michael Tracos.
Well, listen, I think the Leafs have to be a top three team. If you ask me right now where they slot, I think they're the number one team still in the Atlantic Division. Florida's so banged up. No Barkov, no Tkachuk, obviously, to start the year. I don't think I still think they're a playoff team, but I think they might be in that wild card mix. We'll see what actually happens. But I think it's going to be between Toronto and Tampa, duking it out to see who gets the division. And after that, I really like Ottawa. I really like Montreal. I like a lot of teams in the Atlantic. And I think that's why it's going to be paramount for the Leafs to get off to a heck of a start, because it is arguably, and maybe not even arguably, it is the hardest division in hockey. You know, you've got so many teams there that I would classify as Stanley Cup contenders. So, I still think the Leafs are deadly, and you know, as long as health is on their side, they should be one of the top teams in the Atlantic.
Lou, where do you, when the dust settles here on the Leaf season, having to fight Ottawa and Montreal and Detroit and Tampa, and nobody talks about Boston anymore for some reason, and we got Florida, where are the Leafs gonna fit in this whole discussion?
You know what, Michael? I really don't. I agree with some of the things you said, but I have a tough time seeing the Leafs making the playoffs this year, only because obviously Tampa's going to be there. You got the young teams like Montreal and Ottawa on your heels. Obviously, Florida's going to be a key factor there with losing Barkov and Tkachuk for most of the year. But you know, Zito's going to do something, and being down there with Marchand and the casting characters they have there, I'm going to say that the Leafs will sneak in as a wild card team, probably being the third or fourth place team in that division, and then because they're going to have a tough time adjusting to Ruby style hockey. I'm talking about Joshua. I'm talking about Roy Micheli. Their defense is big, but they're a year older now, and they're going to be a little bit slower than they were last year. And then the big question mark is always is who we can have as a goalie. You know, is Stolarz going to be healthy all year? Is Woll going to be there? Is Matthews going to carry the puck like they did without Marner? So there's a lot of big question marks, and that's why I see the Leafs on the bottom looking up.
We'll certainly see how the season plays out. I think at some point, Woll, you know, they got to get him back. If you're going to go with Stolarz, he maxes out at around 40 games over with his body of work, and then you really need. And I'm sure Hildeby and Reimer are going to be able to carry the load for the rest of it. So hopefully, we wish Woll the best, and hopefully, we get him back, guys. Kiprusoff, let's chat about that really quickly. $17 million, the largest salary that's ever been handed out in the NHL. He seems like he has reset the market. Michael Tracos, are you surprised by that number?
I am very surprised by that number. You know, if it was Connor McDavid, I wouldn't be surprised, but we're talking about a guy that, you know, hasn't won. You know, he hasn't won a Rocket Richard, hasn't won an Art Ross or a Hart Trophy. You know, hasn't led his team to the Stanley Cup, much less the conference final. So, you know, it's a lot of money for, you know, a player who you're betting on, you know, that can stay healthy, which was a big problem the last couple of years for him. And that can, you know, lead that Wild team, you know, over some of those other big teams in the Central. So, you know, I understand it from Minnesota's standpoint. You can't afford to lose Kirill the Thrill, because he is so important to what you're building there. But boy, it was a massive overpay, even with the salary cap going up.
Well, I guess the general manager's name there, his name escapes me. He wasn't going to do what happened.
Bill Guerin.
He wasn't going to pull a Mitch Marner here. He was going to get him on a contract. Figures his cap's going up over the course of the next few years, and I ain't letting my number one star attraction leave, and I don't care what the price is. And figure better lock him up now rather than try and get rid of him at the trade deadline, or with what having to deal with what Tree Living dealt with Marner last year. So I can't say that I blame him, but that seems to be a bit rich. Seems to have reset the market, and who knows what McDavid's number is now. And McDavid's worth, I guess, whatever he wants. Is he a $20 million man now, Lou?
You're pretty much right on him. I think he was a $20 million player even before cap was
left. True.
Signed the deal, but when a player's got an organization by you know what?
Yeah.
It's more or less it's a situation. Does Bill Guerin wait till the trade deadline and try to get as much as possible for him? Because we all know this kid has won nothing. He's I'm not even saying he's a flash in the pan, but he's a very, very exciting individual hockey player that does a lot for the Minnesota organization. Now, are you going to pay him $17 million on, for that? Or are you going to pay him $17 million to win? And I'm not sure he has showed anybody that he's a winner. He can carry his team on his back like McDavid, even a Barkov. These are players that that are way above his stature. But again, time will tell on whether he can do it or not.
Anyways, on that note, we're going to take it to break. We're going to come back. I think we got Mike Wilson back on the line, and we're going to be talking with the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the legendary Joe Bowen. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced...
Pizzaville?
Right. When Pizzaville introduced Pizza Romana. It's a crispy sourdough crust, oval-shaped, with gourmet pizza toppings.
Pizza toppings.
It's so light and delicious, once you try it, Pizza Romana will be all you can think about. Call Pizzaville for...
Pizzaville?
Call Pizzaville for Pizza Romana, or visit pizzaville.ca.
Pizzaville.ca.
Passion. It drives entrepreneurs, small businesses, and fast-growing companies. And passion inspires KPMG Private Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Private Enterprise is the number one private company advisor in Canada, navigating complex challenges to help you stay one step ahead of the competition. Search KPMG Private Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one super fan to another.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
If you're into Pokemon, sports cards, or pop culture collectibles, Mint Inc. is the only place you need. Right off Highway 400 in Vaughan, Mint Inc. is the GTA's home for live events, trading experiences, and the best selection of cards and collectibles. They're an authorized PSA dealer, always bringing you the latest releases, and they're always buying cards, too. From Pokemon packs to sports slabs, toys, and more, Mint Inc. has it all. Check them out in Vaughan or visit mintinc.ca. Mint Inc. Collect. Play experience.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
seniors
to me.
Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto, and we're thrilled to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the legend himself, Hockey Hall of Famer, the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Joe Bowen. Good morning, Joe. How are you this morning?
I'm good, guys. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you, Joe. I want to get the most important part of the show interview with you over right away. Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Are we going to make the college football playoff?
Well, we're certainly going to be better than Penn State was and a couple of others. So, you know what? I think our two losses look fairly large, against really good teams and at a minimum amount of points, 4 points. So having said that, I think they're going to have a shot at it. They've got to win out, but I think they're more than capable of doing that. They've got the best two running back, the 1-2 punch in college football. Those two guys are unbelievable, and they were showing it off again yesterday. So I'm confident that they're going to be in the mix. Whether they will be elevated to one of the 12 spots, we'll see what happens.
Anyways, this must be the first time in the history of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour we've got three Fighting Irish supporters and only one Alabama guy. So Mike Wilson,
yeah, how are they doing?
Well, we don't want to get to Lou. Franceschetti will pipe in at some point. Anyways, Joe, before I turn it over to Lou and Mike, this is a huge season for you. It's your last season. It's been announced as the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think you're out. Are you going to make an announcement today that you're staying on?
What a shocking surprise. I have no idea that was happening.
Okay. We're kind of hoping that you've redone your deal and you stay on. We love you so much,
no,
Joe.
No. This is the last waltz. This will be the last one for sure.
And we can't thank you, and we will take the opportunity. And I'm sure Leafs Nation, you're having a tribute night on December 16th. And I read Lance Hornsby's great article against the Chicago Blackhawks, where we all get the opportunity to pay tribute to you. And it's, I can't tell you, I'm looking forward to that. The opportunity in Leafs Nation is, and we really can't thank you enough, and we'll continue to get to express our thanks over the course of this season. And with your indulgence, we'd like to get into talking about the Leafs and the coming season. And I'm going to turn it over to Lou. Lou, I'll give you an opportunity to engage with Joe.
Joe, I want to thank you for all the memories.
Well, thank you, Louie. And I want to thank you and all of the alumni. As Wally mentioned, I was voted the Foster Hewitt Award, and I am somewhat inducted into the National Hockey League Hall of Fame. But it bears in comparison, and it is in second place to having the Leaf alumni honor me by being an associate member of your organization. That means more to me than any accolade or any award that I have been given or bestowed upon. To be accepted by the players that I covered means more to me than anything. And in retirement, I'm looking forward to doing as much as I can with the alumni, both in events and having fun with them and doing things with them. But just to be around those guys is going to be a lot of fun. And that'll mean that you won't be able to go to the alumni box as often because I'm going to steal your ticket.
Well, Joel, I'll explain. I'll cut you off right there, okay? Since you didn't let me finish. I can go on. I can walk in any time I want, as many times as I want. Two.
I know that. You have carte blanche.
That's right. And two, let's get Wally on a thing here, okay?
Okay.
The year that Bama and Notre Dame played for the championship, I can't remember what the score was. We bet a $20 bill.
Are we talking 1973?
No,
we're 2012.
Something, okay?
It was 2012.
We made a bet, yeah. And here's Joe paying me up in a crumpled old $20 bill, and I swear it must have been an inch by an inch, so I had to unfold the $20 bill.
That's too bad, Lou.
Real
Lou,
or not.
Yeah, Lou, it's too bad we didn't know each other in 1973. Okay, I would have had some bragging rights. We won the Sugar Bowl that year. Tom Clements, remember that one?
Wally, it was not 1973. It was lately.
Oh, okay.
In the last 10 years.
Okay.
You got paid. Stop.
What?
Listening and moaning.
What year was it? 2015?
No, it's 2000. I think it was 2012. Anyways, guys, we got a Leafs season coming up. I got the ultimate Leafs fan on. Mike, I know you'd probably Mike Wilson, did we get connected with you again?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, awesome. I know you'd probably like to take the opportunity to pay your respects to Joe for his incredible career with the Leafs.
Well, I mean, this is such a short, spot to do this because he's accomplished so much. And I think I speak for Leaf fans right across North America and around the world that, Joe, your booming voice, some of your dramatic calls, some of your legendary calls, just stick with people. You made boring games into exciting games, and you made, exciting games even more exciting. So we can't thank you enough for all that, and you're definitely going to be missed. But on a personal note, as most of you know, during the 2018-19 season, I followed the Maple Leafs and went to every game, all 89 that year. And it was guys like Joe that made it so much easier for me, making me a part of the media group traveling that year. And it just made things so much smoother and almost like a seamless transition. But I can tell you guys that life on the road, every player that I met always said to me, what do you think about the travel, Mike, and all the media guys? I'll tell you, these guys do work when they're on the road. It's not all fun and games. But I do thank you for making me a part of that and making that journey that year so much easier.
Yeah, it's that really, it's part of the reason why I am retiring. It's a very small part of it. But that aspect of being on the location and being able to do the job the way I signed up for was a very important part. So you're welcome, Mike. It is it's a bit of a grind sometimes. It's early mornings, late nights, various other things. But the group that we had was a tight-knit group, and we always had a lot of fun at it and enjoyed everybody's company. There were more laughs than anything, I think, in the travel situation. We certainly made it work.
Joe, we've got a season that's going to start Wednesday night, and you've got some work to do. Your sense after watching the Leafs in the preseason, don't even want to think about Thursday night's game, but it's preseason. We don't generally take a lot of seriousness about results in preseason. But your sense of Tree Living's moves over the summer, they were all intended, or most of them anyways, to bring some grit to the team. We've got some new players, Dakota Joshua, Michelli, Nicholas Waugh. Easton Cowan is on the bubble, and everybody's debating whether he should stay up or whether he should go down to the Marlies and play 20 minutes a game. Your sense of what you've seen in the preseason, Joe, positive? What are the positive things you've seen, and is there anything that's concerning to you?
I don't think I've seen anything concerning. I mean, the concerning aspect, if there is that it's just too many games. You don't really kind of get everybody together. The veterans are at one level, you know, just trying to make sure they get into some sort of game shape and whatnot. And there's very little, the intensity level is not there. It gets ratcheted up as soon as the regular season starts. But I like what Brad Treliving has done under the circumstances. He's trying to make this team bigger and more miserable and be able to play in the postseason. We've noticed, if you haven't, in the last couple of exhibition games between Tampa and Florida, that the miserable aspect is still very much involved in the National Ice Hockey League, and those are two of the teams that you're going to have to get by. So I think that that is an aspect of it that is going to be there. I think it's a team that Craig Berube will probably like better. And I really enjoyed his comment about, thank God this core four element is done with. And the reason for that is that Berube pointed it out succinctly. It was always on the core four, the core four. Well, it's not, it's a team. It's a group, a whole team, not four guys. And your best players have to be your best players, fine. But it never seemed to be the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was the core four. Well, that's over and done with. And I think that that's an important aspect of it all. They'll have to kind of figure out the pieces as how it's going to go going forward. The injury to Scott Laughton will probably open up a spot for someone, maybe Easton Cowan, to remain with the team. I think Nick Robertson has had an outstanding preseason. And I think that that is another aspect of trying to replace some goals that have left. So under those circumstances, I'm excited to see how this team does. I don't know if we'll be as flamboyant, but I think that we will be a good defensive team. I think our goaltending will be excellent, and we'll see how the cards fall where they may at that point.
Lou, I'll give you an opportunity to engage with Joe.
Who has impressed you other than Nick Robertson, out of the new guys that have come to the team here, Joe? And is the defense going to be a key factor in where they go this year?
I've been impressed with a lot of the new guys. I think the defense corps, Louis, is going to be one of the best that the Leafs have had. I think it's deeper. Matt Benning, I think, has played well, and he's an experienced guy that will, you know, tee things up with the Marlies. But they've got some depth there, and it reminds me a lot of the defense of the 92-93 team. Where, you know, Dave Ellett was there. There's your Morgan Rielly. But everyone else was a sluggo, right? And they were just really good. They were miserable. Sylvain Lefebvre was, I thought, the best defensive defenseman in the National Hockey League. And I think that that is where they're leaning on. And having Brandon Carlo for a full year, I think, is going to be a big part of it. I think Michelli has impressed me and his puck handling and everything else. I think he'll be a contributor offensively as far as the new guys are concerned. I like the Leafs' depth on defense, and I think that that's going to augur well. Where's the 100 points coming from? Well, you know what? If you give up one goal less a game, there's your 100 points. And you're doing it in an opposite direction, I suppose. So I think that that's where I think we're going to see some real development and difference in this team.
Mike?
Well, a couple things, Bonesy. First off, your travels of all those years, going on 44 years, you've been in every city and all of the funk cities. Is there a city in North American sports that is measured by what they do 7 months down the road before they even get there, like the Toronto Maple Leafs go through every year? So no matter what they do this year throughout the season, doesn't matter, because all the naysayers will say, what are you doing for me in April? And my second point I'd like you to comment on is, with Mitch Marner gone, that's a great point you made about one last goal for the 100 points. But the question I've always had is, who drove that line? Was it Marner, the benefactor of Matthews' ability to finish, or Matthews' ability to score because of Marner's elite playmaking ability? So the positive side, always looking through things through rose-colored glasses as Leaf fans, I think this is an opportunity for 34 to step his game up one more level to drive a line. And I don't really care who plays with him on the right side, because John Tavares spent 9 years on the island. making 15, 20 goal scorers into 30 goal scorers. And I think this will give Matthews an opportunity to really step his game up and drive this club.
Well, I think one thing he has to do, Mike, is be a lot more selfish. I mean, he's got to be like Alex Ovechkin. Shoot the damn puck every time he gets an opportunity. He has got to be the guy that pulls the trigger. And it can be from bad angles. It can be, wasted things that get blocked. But everybody has to know that when it gets on his stick, it's going to the net. And I think that your point is well made. I think that he will end up driving the line. I think Max Domi, who looks like he's ticketed to at least start there, unless they have to slide him around because of the Lawton injury, will benefit from that. Max is a talented forward. He's a creative kid as well. He'll add some grit and some nastiness to that line to ride shotgun. But I think that that's the aspect that has to happen, is that Austin Matthews has got to be more selfish. Just shoot the damn puck, and I think a lot of good things will happen from there.
We've been talking to Joe Bowen. Joe, we've only got a little over a minute and a half left, so I've got to wrap this up. October 6th, 1982. It's hard to believe. It's been 44. It's soon to be 44 years. It's been an incredible ride. You have brought so much to Leafs Nation. You will always be for this generation the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Thank you, thank you. We'll continue to thank you as we'll be there on December 16th to pay tribute to you. I know you've got a book coming out. You're working on something with Scott Morrison. Could be out in a little while. Tell us a little bit about the book in about a minute or less.
Well, it's going to be kind of an interactive book, I hope, guys. We're going to have all of the stupid stories that have accumulated over the years. And as you go through it, for instance, the 93 goal by Nicky Borishevsky, we'll talk about the watershed mark of the franchise and going into that game. And then there'll be a QR code so that you can dial it up and see and hear the goal. And then I can talk about why I was able to see Nicky touch the puck, and maybe Bob Cole, who was further down press row, didn't know whether he had touched it and so called it differently. But because I was closer to the net, I got to see it and that. So there'll be a lot of that kind of those different situations. Austin Matthews, 4 goals and getting to meet his parents that night. So a lot of different little stories like that, but it'll be somewhat interactive. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. We're probably going to have it come out the fall of 97, but it'll be a lot of fun.
I think you meant the fall of 27, sorry.
27, yeah. What did I say?
97, I think, or maybe I got
Jesus.
It wrong.
Oh, well, yeah, I forgot we're in another millennium.
We're both Zoomers, Joe. So we've got to go. We can't thank you enough.
My pleasure, guys.
And have a fantastic season, Joe. We wish you all the
best. You
bet.
Thank you very much.
Joe Bowen. Mike Wilson, the Ultimate Leafs fan, thank you so much for joining us and helping us out this morning. And Leap and Lou, as always, thanks so much to all our listeners. Have a fantastic week. And let's come back next Sunday, hopefully with some Jays and some Leaf victories.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello, I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to me. Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.